Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about experiencing God's confidence in the face of insecurity. And maybe this is kind of a topic where not everybody likes to talk about or address, because we're basically talking about what we're insecure about and all those things. So I'm just going to lay it all out there. Everybody has insecurities. We all deal with stuff and have issues. So I'm just going to lay it out there. And then what I like to do is when I talk about a particular topic, I usually start with, like, what it means. So I'm defining what it means, so we're kind of all on the same place and we know what we're kind of talking about and just the different terms that I'm going to be using. So confidence. So this is kind of the definition of confidence, is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. So when we talk about confidence, we got with God, we rely on God, trust in Him, and put our faith and belief in Him. It also means firm trust. Confidence means a state of feeling certain about the truth of something, a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. So this is kind of what confidence is about. Insecurity is basically not feeling secure. So it relates to uncertainty or anxiety about oneself, lack of confidence, not confident about yourself or your ability to do things well, nervous or uncomfortable. Okay, so that kind of relates to a couple different things. So feeling maybe insecure about yourself. And then I'm also going to talk about kind of anxiety kind of plays into that. If we're insecure about something, anxiety kind of plays a part in that. So anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Okay, so we all face and deal with insecurities, and some are more noticeable to us than others. Sometimes, even myself, I was thinking, okay, man, what am I insecure about, and things like that. Sometimes it's hard to notice, and sometimes it's maybe a little bit insecure, and we may be a lot insecure about something, and sometimes maybe we don't know ourselves too well to notice those things. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Eben has it up on the screen, or maybe have it up on the screen. There we go. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And another aspect I wanted to talk about is confidence and arrogance. Those are not the same things. So confidence and arrogance are not the same thing. Arrogance, this is a definition of arrogance. Arrogance is an insulting way of thinking or behaving that comes from believing that you are better, smarter, and more important than other people. So how I see it, arrogance can be kind of a form or an acting out of maybe if you're insecure with yourselves. So this is how I see it. Confidence is when we need God, and arrogance is when we reject God. So when we're arrogant, we feel like we're better than other people, particular situation, or even God in some instances. So I want to play a video. Maybe most of us, maybe older generation, have seen Back to the Future before. And I did get one of the clips to it. I was trying to get one of the ending clips, and there just wasn't a good part to it, so I will just talk about it. So let's watch this video real quick.
Give me a tab.
Tab? I can't give you a tab unless you order something.
All right, give me a Pepsi free.
You want a Pepsi, pal? You're going to pay for it.
Look, just give me something without any sugar in it, okay?
Some of that sugar.
Hey, McFly! What do you think you're doing?
Biff.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly. Think. I gotta have time to recopy it. You realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting? I'd get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course not. I wouldn't want that to happen.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Hey, Biff, get over this guy's life preserver. Dork thinks he's gonna drown.
Yeah.
So, how about my homework, McFly?
Okay, Biff. Well, I'll finish that on up tonight, and then I'll bring it over first thing tomorrow morning.
Hey, not too early. I sleep in Sundays. Oh, McFly, your shoes are tied. Don't be so gullible, McFly.
Okay.
I don't want to see you in here
okay.
again.
All right, bye-bye.
What? You're George McFly.
Yeah, who are you?
Say.
Okay, so for those that have not seen the movies, I'm not going to give everything away, but, I mean, the title says they go back to the future, so it's about time travel, just to let you know. So this is kind of the movie I was thinking of when we talk about insecurities. George McFly, he kind of represents... kind of an insecure person. He has a lot of... he kind of let Biff walk all over him and all these different things. But then throughout the movie, he kind of gained his confidence back, and this is kind of how the story progressed. And then at the end, where back in time where he gained his confidence and he punches him and does something else. And then he, when they go back to the future... he kind of is a whole totally different person. And so Biff kind of represents that arrogant cockiness about somebody. And then when that situation happened, when we go back in the future, he kind of has a different attitude. And then Marty McFly in the movie, he kind of has this confidence about him. But then he also has a little hint of arrogance and insecurities at times in the movie. We are going to be reading the story of Gideon out of Judges 6, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip a few, but the parts that I want to focus on, they're going to be up on the screen. And then most of us know about the story of Gideon, but in Judges 6 it says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites." So the Midianites were a group of people that were kind of going against the Israelites and at this time. Skip to verse 7. "When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' And then Gideon replied, 'Pardon me, Lord? But if the Lord is with us, why has all these things happened? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.' Then Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me.'" So before I finish, Gideon is pretty much really insecure with himself. He's the least in his family. His his clan and his family and his tribe is kind of the least in all of Israel, and yet God is telling him to go do something. And yet he's focusing on all these things that what the world would see is not probably good enough to lead Israel. And one thing to notice, he's threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites, and he's down low in a wine press, kind of hiding from things. He's kind of hiding from the Midianites, probably because he's scared. He's not certain. He's probably not confident if the Midianites come and destroy his land and his crops. It goes on to say, when God tells him to do something, and he kind of, we're not going to read into it, but Gideon presents an offering to God, and he does all these things with a few of his servants, but yet there's one part in the Bible where it says he does it at night so nobody would see. And he's still kind of, through this process, he's kind of gaining this confidence, but he's still not quite there. And he's kind of insecure with himself. And he keeps asking God to give him a sign, another sign, because he doesn't have that trust yet with God. So down to verse 33. It says, now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you had promised, look, I will place the wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I would know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early in the next day, squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground was covered with dew. So you can kind of see how Gideon kind of was like, in a way, questioning God and saying, okay, but I need just a little bit more to trust you and to trust you. Long story short, Gideon ends up defeating the Midianites basically by relying on God, not on his own strength. Even God was saying, you have too many men. You have too much men. You need to narrow it down, dwindle it down. And he ended up only having 300 men. And they ended up not even fighting these guys. He had a dream, and God gave him an idea to defeat the Midianites, and they kind of defeated themselves by themselves. Confidence. When I was praying and writing this, I thought of this statement. Confidence is not determined by what you are good at. Because Gideon gained his confidence, but if he focused on all the things that he wasn't good at, least of his family, the least in his everything else, if he was focused on just complaining, it wasn't going to help him in his confidence. Confidence is not determined by what you are good at, and insecurity is not determined by what you are not good at either. I'll read it again. Confidence is not determined by what you are good at, and insecurity is not determined by what you are not good at. So what's at the root of all insecurities? It's kind of a mix of a lot of things. Either not feeling good enough, not confident, basing our value or our worth on something either inconsistent or not true, not realizing who we are in Christ, not realizing who we are with God, I think stems from a lot of insecurities we may have. Where do insecurities start? Well, that's a very good question. And it can kind of also be a mix of various things. Either from our background, how we were raised, the environments we put ourselves in, our different personalities. We all have different personalities. God made us each unique, and we all have different susceptibilities to certain things that maybe not everybody does. We have different experiences and et cetera. But even in Hebrews, God knows us. He's able to empathize in our weaknesses. He's able to empathize in what we do because God came in to this earth in flesh. And he has experienced everything like us. Sometimes, like I said, we may not realize things that were insecure about us, but we may act on them in certain ways. Sometimes we act out of being insecure, and I'm just going to list a couple different things that sometimes we may do, and I've been on this list probably a couple times. We may tackle our insecurities with either being funny or humor, either to cover up something that we may not feel secure about saying or relating to. So we may tackle insecurities with being funny or just being humorous. We might do it by being as positive as we can be while pretending we might not have any issues in our lives. So we try to stay positive, and maybe we might put up a facade or a mask. We may hide certain aspects of our life. We may verbally, maybe constantly, we doubt ourselves and we put ourselves down. Other people can do that to us, but we can also do it to ourselves, either by what we say or maybe how we treat ourselves or act. Maybe some of us may make up all sorts of stories about ourselves that aren't true to try to impress others. And I see a lot of this stems maybe when you're younger and stuff and how you're raised. Right now, I was thinking of, like, Chloe. Chloe's not my daughter. She's 1 year old. I mean, she's really not insecure about anything. Like, she's just, she'll do anything. There is, like, twice where I've seen her get frustrated, but that's pretty much the only thing that I've seen where it was kind of like she was frustrated because she couldn't either open something or stack something or put something in something. So maybe that's part of her personality, but a lot of times how we're raised, and I see this, I'm around a lot of middle schoolers. I work at a middle school. My wife works at a middle school, and we see that's kind of like the pivotal age where you start to change. You go through puberty. You go through all these changes, and some of these kids are in a different spectrum sometimes. Some of them are very mature. Some of them are still growing and maturing, and some of them, I don't know what happened, but they're a work in progress. But we love them. Maybe some of them need more love than others, but you can kind of see how in middle school, and we can probably look back and see how we've changed and something maybe have happened in that time. This is kind of like that time where we're finding ourselves, who we are, and finding what we're good at, what we're not good at, things like that. And it's kind of that stage in life where I can look back and see how I was later on down when I was insecure about something that probably started like middle school, late junior high, late elementary, even in the high school. And those are very pivotal years. I was thinking back how we're raised up is so important in how we come out as adults, how our family life is, our home environments, and not just parents play a huge role, but also just the people that we're around, family members, school life, church life, things like that plays a huge role. Maybe sometimes how we act out. We may lash out at others by name-calling, shaming, putting others down, making others feel bad so you can feel good about yourself. Maybe you have insecurities about this, and I see this more so with when you're around teenagers and young people and kids. They tend to, it's easier to catch those things than with adults. Because adults, when you get older and mature, maybe you get more smarter and you know how things work better. But even you can see this with adults. Maybe sometimes adults may lash out at others by putting somebody down because they're insecure with themselves. So they got to put somebody down first before somebody puts them down or calls them out of something. Maybe we try to impress others. We fake to impress. We put up a facade that we are better at something than we really are. Maybe we constantly place blame on others for everything we do. Maybe we have this kind of victim mentality where we're always the victim, but we're never the person at fault. And maybe we might struggle with forgiveness, either accepting forgiveness or giving out forgiveness. So this part on victim mentality, every time I deal with a lot of discipline issues at my job, and all the time I ask them, I usually ask, so what did you do wrong or what happened in something? And usually most of the time with a lot of these kids, it's somebody else's fault. Either, well, so-and-so did this and this, and then I have to backtrack and say, no, what did you do wrong? What did you do wrong? And all the time a lot of these kids, it's easier to place blame on somebody else than owning up to what you did wrong. And where did that start? You know, I don't know. That's a good question. Sometimes just being human nature just kind of complicates some things sometimes. So what does God say about where our confidence should come from? There's a lot of verses about putting our hope in God and trust in God and having our confidence in Him. So I wanted to put up a couple verses that talks about that. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord will be your confidence. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Okay, that's kind of metaphorically speaking, but it may be true. You might get your foot caught in something, but something where it shouldn't be, right? God's going to be our confidence. So when we talk about like God's promises and what He promises to us, this is one of those things. God's going to be our confidence. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." So God's going to go before us. He's going to have our backs. He's going to be with us. He's not going to leave us. 1 John 3:20 through 21 says, "For whenever our hearts condemn us," because that may happen sometimes, where our heart, maybe ourselves, tries to play tricks on us, "God is greater than our heart." For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." In some version says, "For power and love and a sound mind." Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And what this verse is saying is not that there's not going to be struggles, because even Jesus said you will have troubles and struggles in this life. We live in a fallen world, and we live where there's sickness, disease, death. Other people make choices, and it affects us either positively or negatively, or maybe somewhere in between. But if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nobody on par with God. There's nobody that equals God. So if we have God on our side, then we shouldn't fear anything. That's what we should have and base our confidence in. A couple things before we pray is, first off, we need to recognize maybe the insecurities in our lives. First, we need to realize that, you know, a lot of people deal with the same issues. We all deal with certain things. So we shouldn't be feel guilty or bad about dealing with certain things. Like, we're all human. We need to recognize the insecurities in our lives, because in order to fix that, we have to recognize them first. That's with, like, every 12-step program for anything. We need to realize that we do have a problem, and we all do have a problem. I have a problem. I have issues in my life. We need to recognize those things, and then we need to deal with them and ask God and seek His confidence and to seek Him out. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to sing a song by Carrie Job called "I Am Not Alone." But we're going to pray. And then the last things that I wrote down to kind of sum up everything is for us to know that insecurities are not from God. Insecurities are not from God. When we seek God, when we spend time with Him and in His Word, when we understand more who God is, we realize more who we are. And insecurities is not who we are. It's not who we were made to be. It's not what we were created to be. We weren't created to be insecure, because that's not what God designed us for. when insecurities start to decrease, while God and godly attributes in the Spirit needs to increase. So when we seek God, I definitely believe it. Our insecurities start to decrease and He starts to increase. So we're going to sing this song, and then Brent, would you like to close us?